97. We're making our way through the Old Testament, and we're in the Psalms, and the Psalms are full of wisdom and praise and understanding about the kingdom of God. And we're in the fourth book of the Psalms. It's divided into several different areas, and that was decided long before you and I came along. The ancient Hebrews had a way of going about this, but Psalms 97, and for a text, let's just pick some selected verses here, verse 1, 8, and verse 11. Psalms 97 and 1, would you say, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. In the NIV, it says, let the distant shores be glad. Verse 8, would you say, Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. Then down in verse 11, would you say, light is sown for the righteous. That's an interesting mental picture, isn't it? Instead of sowing seed, instead of sowing something in a harvest field, God sows light. And he sows it on people or into people. Light is sown for the righteous. And would you say gladness for the upright in heart? And God not only sows light, but he sows gladness. There is a famine in our world for both light and gladness. Anybody know some sad people? Anybody know any depressed people? Anybody, you are a depressed, sad person? God bless you. You can be seated. And let's clap our hands unto him and give him thanks for his word. We thank you for your word, mighty God, that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you for your word, your truth, for the privilege to handle it today, oh God. We thank you, Lord. Your word is the source of our life and our strength. We praise you for it. And everybody said amen. Praise God. There is an epidemic of sadness and depression, and it is part of the fallen Adamic nature. The catastrophic events and the negative events are the ones that get headlines. And they rarely ever run headlines that say, everybody's doing good. And you wouldn't buy the paper if it were that way, because you want to see the disaster that took place. And good news spreads a little bit, but bad news travels fast. And if somebody does something well or they do something good, well, it goes a ways. But boy, you let somebody rip their britches and drop the watermelon and really make a mess of things, that takes off and spawns all kinds of reports. And by the time it gets around the world, it's changed 100 times, but it's got feet. It'll travel. Praise God. But we have this old negative flesh that's all around us here. And in our world at large, it's not God that reigns, but it's negativism that reigns. And it's depression that reigns. And it's death and loss that reigns. And people are just looking for a little respite from all of those negative things. And they stop on the way home from work and get a six-pack because they want to get a buzz on to forget about all the bad stuff. And they light up a joint or they smoke a pipe before they leave for work in the morning. And they go to their medicine chest, and they long since haven't needed those prescription drugs for a physical problem, but they kept the prescription and they kept the drugs because they get a buzz and it makes them feel better and it makes them forget. They just feel all by themselves and left unattended and undrugged and without alcohol, without a substance to lean on or a crutch or a big social event or some big deal going on by themselves in a room by themselves. They are scared to death because left by themselves, they're sad and they're empty and they're miserable. And that's why the bar rooms are filled up. And that's why people are desperate to have a good time somewhere. Please, somebody. somebody throw a party. Please, somebody, open a door and let me have a good time, because I don't want to think about mortality, and I don't want to think about my failures, and I don't want to think about how wrecked my life is. Go do the study on the statistics for suicide in Alabama. It'll blow your mind. Murders make the headlines, but suicide is a problem. Praise God. Praise God. Get on an elevator with them or work on a job with them. And they gripe about the weather, and they gripe about the job, and they gripe about the government, and they gripe about the taxes, and they gripe about you when you're not standing there. You want to blow their minds and really send a shockwave when you walk up in them and say, "What a day! What a great day! I'm so glad, I'm so happy, I'm so thrilled to be alive in the kingdom of God. Look out there, the weather's shifting. I smell a little fall in the air. The leaves will be turning soon. Oh, I'm just feeling good. What, are you a deer hunter? No, no, I'm just looking at this day. Look, I could have come to in a coffin somewhere. I could be laid up at UAB with tubes running out of me somewhere. I could be burying my wife or burying my kids today. But I'm standing in the middle of a sunshiny blue sky day, and God is good to me." Well, that kind of unsolicited positive report will make people look at you a little bit strangely, because they know you're doing something. They're used to drunks and druggies. They know you're stoned. Because nobody's that happy just all on their own. And they want to talk about their divorce, and they want to talk about the abortion, and they want to talk about substance abuse, and they want to. And those things are symptomatic of a society that's coming unraveled at the edges, and it's lost its way, and it doesn't know God. And it's coming apart in all the things that really matter. And what gladness they have is shallow and fleeting. It doesn't last long. You let Alabama win two or three in a row, and they're feeling pretty good, but you let them lose two or three in a row, and it's like a morgue around this place. If that controls your emotion, you live a very tiny life in a very tiny circle, and it's about that deep. You need to shake yourself if the parties the world is throwing have control over your emotions. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody say, "But the Lord reigns." Now the psalmist opens up and says, God is in control. God is on his throne of power. God has it all in his hands. Well, praise the Lord. And he follows that by saying, "Let the whole earth rejoice, and let the multitude of the distant islands be glad." He said, "Folks, get happy, be glad, rejoice, because God is in control." The only thing that he offers as a preface for this, not that it's going to make you a lot of money, not that it's going to make you a success, not that it's going to heal all your bobos and answer all your problems, not that it's going to put your life back together. All he offers is, God's in charge, get happy. God's reigning, be glad. God is in control, throw yourself a party, rejoice. Because in the mind of this writer, when he says, "God reigneth, the Lord reigneth," he's talking about a God that he knows. He's talking about a God that he's familiar with. And he understands what it means for all of us that God reigns, because God is good, and God is benevolent, and God is merciful, and God loves to shower down blessings, and God's looking for somebody upon whom or for whom he can show himself strong. Praise God. The writer knows this. He said, "Listen, the devil's not in charge. The world's not in charge. Your boss is not in charge. Your circumstance is not in charge. Your in-laws are not in charge. Your broken dreams, your childhood abuse, your rotten memories, all of the dirty things they said and did about you when you were a kid, none of those things are in charge. But God reigns. God's bigger than your memories. God's bigger than your disasters. God's bigger than the trouble you've had all of your life. God's bigger than the abuse. God's bigger than the hurt. God's bigger than the offense. God's bigger than your boss. God's bigger than the government. God reigns. God reigns. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we touched on something similar to this just a few weeks ago. But here it is again. And if God gets redundant, you need to sit up and listen. Amen. When God begins to tell you something more than once, you need to sit up and listen. Amen. You don't need to sit back and, oh, I've heard that. Remember, you're about that. You're living in a world about that big and about that deep. Oh, I've heard that about the Word of God. They say, I heard that. Would you go outside and just look up in that sun, just stare for a while. And come back and tell me how it's hanging there and what's holding it up and what keeps that inferno blowing and what makes that thing stay in check and not just go and eat up the earth and everybody that's on it. You think that's disconnected? I'm telling you, God reigns. It's God. Y'all, you don't get it. It's God's system. It's God's plan. You were made by God. You were made to serve God. And this thing is not out of control, but God reigns. And so he says, be happy and rejoice. Now, anytime you get a mandate like that, he doesn't offer you a possibility. You can be happy. You can rejoice, but there's the mandate, the imperative there. Be happy. Oh. People, I mean, there's not time enough here to list the diatribe that you would get if you walked up to people and said, well, I hear what you're saying, but be happy. Just like, be happy. You insensitive, mindless fool. Be happy. Don't you know what I've been telling you? Can't you see my situation? Don't you know how they treated me? What happened to me when I was a child? How my boss is treating me? How broke I am? How sick I've been? How the world is today? Just be happy. Come on. But it is an imperative. And it is in command form. Get happy. He said, rejoice and be glad. Those are imperatives. And the only way that you can field an imperative and receive an imperative is if you have some aspect of control. And what the Word of God's dealing with there is the free moral agency of every living human being. You have liberty, a mandate from the Word of God, and free moral will to be glad and to rejoice. The ball's in your court. God just fired you one and he said, all right, be glad. But before I can be glad, I got to fix all that's wrong. And I've got to get all better from all that happened. And I've got to, no. Here's where all that is. Down on a very low plane, a low level of existence, and you're enmired in that, and you've been living there, and you slog through that every day, and you eat it, and you go to bed with it, and you wash in it, and you think about it, and it permeates every pore of your soul, and you're just awash in it, and you're down there like the prodigal son in the hog pen. And then he looks up. There's a bigger world out here. The phrase in the prodigal son story is he came to himself. Because nobody can do this for you. But he began to get himself out of the mire and out of the mud and out of the yuck. And he said, I remember the way to Daddy's house. I remember the way to the Father's house. I don't have to live with the hogs, and I don't have to sink into the mud, and I don't have to do this every day. I know there's a better place for me. And he began to look up, and he began to make his way back. And in that, we understand that it's not enough that God, in fact, does reign, but that you, as a free moral being with will of your own, agree and acquiesce and accept and submit to the reign of God. God's in control, but it doesn't do you any good unless you agree with it. Yeah, it's done you a lot of good. That's right. God reigns, but it's worthless to you. It's just like being in America. Now, this is going to raise hackles all over. It's like being in America and sitting on a bucket out on some downtown street, saying, I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything, I can't make anything, I can't be anything, because wicked people have created a wicked system, and it works against me every day. Give me another drink. And somebody just popped up on the other side of the Rio Grande and said, what an opportunity. Somebody just made a boat out of a 57 Plymouth and floated from Cuba and came ashore in Miami and said, life is great in America. Why? What's the difference? It's all attitude. It's all will. It's all perception. It's all looking up. Now, if you've been sitting on that bucket and you've been wallowing in the mire and you've been saying it can't be and I can't be and nothing's going my way and nobody will help me and there's no way, I'm telling you, if you will look up today, there's somebody that's at the top of the food chain that can lay his hand upon you and can change your life, can change your home, can change your family. But I've got to agree. I've got to accept. I've got to receive the fact. If I'm going to be happy and I'm going to rejoice, if I'm going to engage my will to receive the positive that comes off the fact that God reigns, I've got to be engaged in that. Now, see, some folks walk around all day long thinking they've already heard everything you can hear about God. Oh, I was raised in church. You start trying to talk to them about God. Oh, my mama was a preacher. My daddy was a pope. And which means I heard all I wanted to hear. I don't want to hear anything else. Which means I'm not ready to submit my will to God. It doesn't diminish the truth of God because you won't play. It doesn't lessen the power of God because you won't interact with God. God is still God, and there's going to come a day you're going to do business with God. You're going to stand in front of him. You better do it now while you have a lot of options. Somebody shout, God reigns. I want somebody with a real problem in your life to shout, God reigns. I want somebody with real trouble in your family right now to say, but God reigns. Somebody with money trouble right now, you shout it, God reigns. Somebody who the letter came in the mail and it brought you a bad report, but you laid it out on the desk and you said, but God reigns. My God, do you believe that? Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Somebody ought to shout about it a little bit. God reigns. God reigns. See, you got to get on board of that boat, God reigns, before it's going to lift your spirit and lift your life. Dr. Wilson calls it redemptive lift. When you plug in with God, your life just begins to lift. Good things just accrue to you just because you're hanging out with God. Be glad is a choice then. David said, and you can quote it with me, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Praise God. And you know what? He didn't say, "This was the day that the Lord had made." He didn't say that at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. "Well, this was a pretty good day. I think I'm going to be glad." David said that first thing in the morning. Sun's probably not up yet. Got a little gray on the eastern horizon. And David rose up with it and said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to be glad in it." Now, how can you do that, David? Because you don't know what's coming up on the tray. You don't know what's in the basket on your desk. You don't know what's coming down the highway. You don't know what kind of a mood the boss is in. That's your wife, in case you're wondering. You don't know what kind of a mood your boss on the job is in. You don't know what kind of day it's going to be. But David's got the revelation. He knows that God reigns. And he knows that nothing else matters. God reigns. That trumps everything else. You might have a flashback of the problems when you were a kid. You might have a hard road because of financial difficulties. But my God, you don't have to live stuck in those things. I'm telling you, this God is so big that in the middle of your circumstances, can I paint you a picture here today? Let somebody beat your back until it's bloody and then chain you to the wall of the deepest, darkest prison and then walk away and close a cell. I tell you, in the word of God, the man Paul and the man Silas had a choice. Free moral agents. And without even an interview and without the word of God corroborating it, I'll just tell you, the devil was there. He always is. When you take a hit, he's always there going, "Where's your God?" But you know, those guys, they were there, and the devil was saying, and probably the prisoners around them, "Stupid Christians!" They began to sing. "The Lord reigneth, and blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my..." I don't know what they sang. I don't know what the song... It doesn't matter. But the song indicates their spirit and their attitude. They began to sing praises unto God. And if he hadn't let them out, and we never read about it, and we didn't even know about it, because I'm telling you, there have been godly people in horrible circumstances all the way since the dawn of time that have stood and said, "Devil, you can talk all you want, but I know that God reigns. I may not make the headlines of the church, and Israel may not ever know who I am, but I want you to know God reigns." But in that moment, the jail began to tremble and the chains began to fall off, and an angel kicked the doors down off the jail cell, and everybody went free because they had a revelation. They had a revelation that God is in control. God's bigger than Rome. God's bigger than the Sanhedrin. God's bigger than your world and all the powers that are in it. When Pilate's looking at Jesus, he said, "Don't you know?" Because Pilate didn't want to kill him. "Don't you know?" He was exasperated. "I have the power of your life and death in my hand." Jesus said, "God reigns." Well, he didn't say that. He said, "You don't have any power except that comes to you from above." And it was the absolute truth. Nobody you're dealing with, devil, man, system, not a thing in your life, nothing that goes bump in the night that doesn't have to answer to your God. God reigneth. God reigns when you feel fear. God reigns when you're despairing. God reigns when you're falling into depression. God reigns. You start with the premise that God is in control, and then you begin to rejoice in it. Now, this is a workshop. You're just listening. But this is a workshop. First, you start with that concept. God is in control. And then you rejoice in it. God reigns. Let the earth rejoice. So the first plank in this workshop is you realize that God reigns. Everybody that realizes that God reigns, clap your hands, lift your voice, and shout it. Shout it. God is in control. If you've got a specific area of trouble right now, I want you to begin to speak that. God is in control of my health. God is in control of my finance. God is in control at my workplace. Okay, now that you've gotten a hold of that concept, and you got to understand the Word of God is interactive. You can't do the Word of God like this. You can't do the Word of God like that. Yeah, it's like that. You sow the seed, and the earth receives it. It's the principle all around you in life. Masculine, assertive, feminine, receptive. When God's talking, you are the come on, guys, get on board. You are the feminine receptive, and you have to receive the seed for it to do anything in your life. Didn't you read the book? If you're hard and you won't listen, it falls on you like it's falling on concrete, and the bird comes and takes it away, or the devil comes and takes it away, and it doesn't have any chance to germinate, so it doesn't do you any good, so you don't reap a harvest. None of the blessings of God are manifest in your life. It's a function of will, though. You receive the blessing. You receive the Word of God. Now, let me just help you. If you don't know how to do that, that's where you go, amen. That's where you go, praise God. And what you're doing now, you're pitching and catching. You're ebbing and flowing. You're moving in rhythm with the kingdom of God. And you're receiving the Word of God. The Word of God comes to you and you say, that's mine. The blessing is talked about and you say, I'll take it. Redemption is the word and you say, I'll have some of that. Deliverance is preached about and you say, I'm going to be delivered if nobody else in the house is. When the Word of God comes, it's interactive. That's why dead churches are dead. Everybody talks about dead churches, but you don't worry about a dead church. The only one in the whole house that's responsible for you is you. Praise God. So when the word comes, you've got to respond to it. All right. So this is a workshop. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Now, if you know God is ruling and reigning over your circumstance, then right now, on the sheer power of the fact that God is in charge in your life, then you begin to rejoice. Let me give you a small tutorial here. Rejoicing is clapping the hands, lifting the hands, raising the voice, maybe a little dance, maybe a little shout, maybe a little... Yeah, but what you just did was like a workshop. What I'm talking about is you being cognizant of the fact that God is dominant over every problem you have in your life. My God, that and that alone ought to make you crazy. So here's the recipe. The Lord reigns, the earth rejoices, and the result of that is you get glad. Praise God. Praise God. Now listen, I'm not talking about some frothy, empty, shallow thing. I know who I'm talking to. I know how many times Sister Lisa and Brother Harold been down to the hospital with their elders here recently and with themselves recently, and the trouble that they've shepherded their family through, and they're having that role reversal and they're parenting their parents and all kind of difficulties. And I mean, you, unless you've walked there, you can't know the emotional hammer that comes down on you when you're dealing with that. You can't understand. And I know I'm talking about, and I'm not being insensitive to that. I'm telling you something that is fact, that is real, that I believe tonight, this morning. I believe that God is bigger than all of that that's going on in our life. And beyond that, let me tell you this. There is nothing in this world that can give you peace in the middle of that storm but an experience with God. Jack Daniels won't do it. Cocaine won't do it. All of those silly substitutes will just make you hungry for more, and you'll be worse when you finish than when you started. But my God, when you get yourself embraced in the kingdom of God. I love to watch people when they first go off. Praise God, I'm so glad you're back at the house. It's been a while. I enjoyed it, John. I was so glad you called me when you wanted to get baptized. I'm jealous when people call other people to get baptized. I want to be there. And I was, see, you didn't know, and I didn't tell you, but I was in full stride in prayer. I was praying. I was praying for the city. I was praying for the church. I was praying for people like you. And my phone rang. And if it had been most of y'all, I'd have ignored you. Well, I'm talking to God. You got to get in line. We had a friend in our home church that if you ever interrupted him while he's praying, he would say, "Excuse me, Lord." Yes? Well, nobody bothered him much while he's praying. But he was serious about prayer. But you were so excited, and it was in your voice, and you were ready. You were charged and ready. And he stood right here, and I said, "Let's pray a little bit before you go down." And so he began to pray. And there is so much just explosive, erratic energy in people when they're first coming to God. Because you don't know what to do with it. You know, and when he came out of the water, we're all just kind of standing around thinking, "That is so cool. That is so great. That is just so wonderful." But not him. He's like, "Ah! Glory! Woo! That's what it looks like. That's what it feels like to know my troubles aren't in charge anymore. My sin is not in charge anymore. But God reigns." Help me. Praise God. Do that again. Clap your hands. Let's stand together. I'm going to quit. I'm not done. I'm going to quit. We're going to do this again tonight, maybe. Praise God. Now, if you're in the house and you're dominated by things that you don't like, and you're dominated by things that are oppressing your mind, and dominated by things that are stealing your joy, and you're not a happy camper, and you don't have joy in your marriage, and you don't have joy in your relationships, let me tell you what. It's not going to help for you to whine about fixing the other person. That joy happens in here, and once you get it, nobody can take it from you. Come on, come on, come on. Once you get this gladness, we didn't get to it, but we will tonight. God, if you can get a hold of this business about God reigning, God sows light and God sows gladness. I want you to know right here this morning, God, it's a will of God to sow light, revelation, understanding. Instead of that, anybody in the house feel like they've been just covered up with darkness? Just suffocated with darkness? God sows light. If you want God to sow some light into a dark circumstance, a dark memory, a dark oppressive thing that's been moving in your heart and in your mind, break free of where you are right now and make your way down to this altar. If you want God to sow some gladness, you've been fighting depression and heaviness, and you've been so sick of life. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with life. There's nothing wrong with you that God can't fix. God can sow gladness down into your heart. Come on, all over the house. I want every Holy Ghost-filled person in the house to begin to pray right now. I want every fountain to begin to bubble up. I want every river of living water to begin to break through. Come on. Talk in tongues, church. Do the work of the church. Come on now. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you for an offering. All I'm asking you to do is come get better. Come let God lay his hand on you. I want somebody to come lay their hands on each of these. Come on. I want some Holy Ghost-filled men to lay their hands on each of these men. I want some Holy Ghost women to come lay your hand on each of these women.
Well, the Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't Thank you, Jesus. This joy.
This joy that I have.
Ooh, yeah.
The world didn't give it to me.
This joy.
This joy that I have.
Hallelujah.
The world didn't give it to me.
This joy.
This joy that I have.
Oh, yeah.
The world didn't give it to me.
No, 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 no.
The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away.
This Holy Ghost that I have. Church, say it.
The world didn't give it to me.
No, no.
The Holy Ghost that I have.
Thank you, Jesus.
The world didn't give it to me.
This Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost that I have.
Ooh, yeah.
The world didn't give it to me.
Oh, yeah.
The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away.
I said this joy, yeah.
This joy that I have.
The world. Say it, come on.
The world didn't give it to me.
This joy
that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
This
joy that I have.
Hallelujah.
The world didn't give it to me.
Oh, yeah.
The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away.
The Holy Ghost that I have. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
The world didn't give it to me.
Ooh, yeah.
The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. This joy that I have.
Hallelujah.
The world didn't give it to me.
This joy
that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
The Holy Holy Ghost that I have. Sure.